lives of Shia Muslims should also matter in Nigeria. Nigeria, which claims to be a democracy, has, under the misrule of President Buhari, who is closely aligned with the Saudi regime and the Zionist entity Israel, increasingly adopted a stepmotherly attitude towards its own citizens professing the rational beliefs of the school of the Ahlul Bayt, or blessed household of the Prophet of Islam. This uncalled-for hostility, which on occasions resulted in attacks on peaceful protesters and their killing by the army, has created fissures in Nigerian society, with citizens, irrespective of their religion, Muslim, Christian, and animist, castigating the ruling regime for its high-handedness and refusal to obey the federal court's orders to release from three-year detention the revered leader of the Islamic movement of Nigeria, Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki, his wife, and scores of his followers. Stay with us for an article by Jude Ndukwe, a non-Muslim Nigerian, in the Daily Premium Times. So much has been said about the growing fractious relationship between the Nigerian military and the civil society. Before now, our military, especially the army, had been the bastion of discipline, restraint, and civility. Growing up, a lot of us fantasized about how we would join the military and shine before our civilian mates with our neat and well-ironed uniforms, shiny boots, and smart looks. We fantasized and boasted about how we would defend our nation and people against any external aggression from any quarters, no matter how powerful. We boasted of how we would dare fires, no matter how wild, jump into them to save trapped citizens. We even boasted of how bloody civilians would confront us, and instead of retaliating, we just laughed them off because they do not know what they are doing. Our dream as future military officers was to serve the people and the nation and make ourselves the envy of many through our behaviors. We never ever thought that the time would come in our lifetime when the Nigerian military would turn its guns on civilians, fellow citizens, no matter the provocation. We also never thought of a time that the mutual hatred and mistrust between the military and the civilian populace would be so toxic that the civilian band would attack and kill a retired military general the way it happened to General Idris Al-Kali in Jos, Plateau State. But alas, such a time, unfortunately, is now with us. Late last October, we witnessed the avoidable clashes between the army and members of the Islamic movement in Nigeria, IMN. I can confirm from my personal experience and interaction with the Shia Muslims that IMN is never a violent group as some would want us to believe, and they are hardly discriminatory in their operations. I delivered a paper at the group's third International Quds Conference, which was held in Abuja on July 29, 2017. Apart from the fact that I am not only Christian, I wish to emphasize that I am also a knighted Catholic. There were also other Christians at the event. I'm also aware that there are several other Christians who have become part and parcel of this annual conference on the chronic question of Zionist-occupied Palestine. So the narrative being created by some government officials about the Shia Muslims as violent people full of hate for others is not only wrong but also misleading and mischievous. The truth is that Shia Muslims have no record of any act of willful violence against the nation, nor can anyone tag them as terrorists. Yet they are an Islamic group some government officials love to hate, malign, and calumniate. In a government report following a public inquiry into the massacre of the Nigeria's Shia Muslims in December 2015, it was said that 347 Shia Muslims were killed by soldiers of the Nigerian army and their corpses dumped in a mass grave in the northern city of Kaduna. The report also demanded that all those involved in the killings be arrested and prosecuted. But up till now, nothing has been heard about it. Those indicted are rather praised and become emboldened to continue the wanton killing of fellow citizens they are trained to protect, even at little or no provocation. This vicious cycle has continued unabated. Citizens have become endangered species in the hands of the military. The military has turned itself to a uniformed emperor that must not be questioned, that must not be criticized, and not even complimented. Is this our dream about our supposedly ideal military? The other day, a video of a lady military officer who led a group of other military officers to viciously assault a civilian simply for complimenting her for her beauty went viral. That was the height of military bestiality and excess show of hate for the civilian populace, and this has increased over time as culprits are either covered up or allowed to go scot-free by those who are supposed to punish such erring officers. To make matters worse, the army keeps needlessly engaging civil society organizations, CSOs, in exchanges over matters in which they are clearly in breach of common sense, law, and civility. Recently, a soldier attached to Operation Safe Haven shot dead an unarmed security personnel and injured two others attached to Diamond Bank in Jos over an innocuous argument about a parking space. That citizen was probably someone's father and husband with other loved ones who had life snuffed out of him just like that, as if he did not matter or his life was of no importance. These and many other gruesome examples show that the issue is not just about the Shia Muslims and the label of recalcitrance imposed upon them by those who take joy in mowing them down, hiding behind such labels. It is about the loss of discipline and professionalism in the Nigerian army. Let us even assume without conceding that the Shia Muslims were wrong the first time when they allegedly blocked a consignment of ammunition in transit, resulting in they being fatally shot. What about the one that happened in Abuja shortly afterwards? Was there another consignment being blocked? I read what some military officers said, that they would not allow the Shia Muslims to breach their rights of other citizens. The question is this: when has it become the primary duty and responsibility of the military to guarantee the rights of citizens in peacetime? What then is the function of the police and their different specialized arms trained to deal with such issues as it should be? With the way it is now, the Shia Muslims have become endangered species who must not exercise their rights as citizens. They must not assemble, they must not associate, and they must not express themselves freely, despite the fact that their leader Sheikh Zakzaki and his wife have been in illegal detention and unlawful custody of the regime going to 3 years now. This surely is a recipe for continued breach of the peace, and it is not only the Shia Muslims that have become endangered species in the hands of the military, we all have. While military sources have given 6 as number of casualties at both incidents in Zoban and Abuja, the Shia Muslims have since released names of the victims numbering 34. Viral videos of the 2 incidents in both Zoba and Abuja show fleeing Shia Muslims being shot at. Even after they had been dispersed, they were still pursued by gun-wielding officers. Their offense was that they had stones and catapults as weapons, and the army would have none of it. Yet in the same country, former President Goodluck Jonathan had his convoy stoned by some mischievous and misguided youths in Bauchi, and he gave a stern instruction to his security personnel not to open fire. He was rather ferried away amidst the hail of stones. That was the commander-in-chief. So, in such situations, particularly the unwarranted killing of the Shia Muslims in Abuja, the army has other options to neutralize the protesters, that is, if they must be involved. Or else, deploying anti-riot policemen to such a scene would have made more sense than directly engaging youths exercising their rights of assembly, movement and association over government flagrant disobedience to valid court orders granting their leader bail. Just a few days ago on TV, the army spokesman John Agim was quoted to have said that several times those people were arrested and they were released without any sanction. We have a country where nobody is sanctioned for doing something wrong. Evans, the kingpin kidnapper, he came out confessing. Over 1 year now, what has happened? When you have a military with this mindset of meting out immediate punishment and inflicting death as punishment to offenders because it does not believe in the judiciary, then the nation is in deep trouble. When an army spokesperson thinks that self-confession is enough to conclude a criminal matter in a jiffy and declare an offender guilty by force and not by law, it becomes a monumental security challenge that requires an aggressive reorientation of our military high command to bring them at par with best civil practices all over the world in military or civilian relationship. It is such beliefs as that of Agim that have reduced the Nigerian military, once envied for its discipline and professionalism, to that feared rather than respected by citizens. However, there is hope. The military just handed 13 people suspected to be responsible for the murder of General Idris Al-Kali to the police after a painstaking investigation for further investigation and prosecution. Based on the warring trend, which is the crux of this piece, those suspects handed over to the police for prosecution would probably have been treated more differently the military way. That they were handed over for the law to take its course rather than take the law into their own hands themselves is a way forward. The Shia Muslims are not just citizens, they are a religious group that is aggrieved and genuinely so. Rather than treat them as a leprous part of the society that must be exorcised and excised by all means possible, they can actually be meaningfully engaged in and all areas of differences resolved to the satisfaction of all parties with respect for the rule of law as a guiding principle. This way, the needless confrontations between citizens and security agencies are reduced to the barest minimum, and the needless loss of lives arising from there is avoided. We cannot continue to cut short the lives of citizens in numbers the way we are currently doing. Nigeria is not a jungle, and no person or group of persons should reduce it to such.